Brings us to the time of the morning. We welcome Kari Rasmus to the airwaves, and today talking about headaches. Kari, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
Yes, welcome back. We haven't heard from you for a while. Nice to have you back on the airwaves.
Definitely.
And Kari, getting straight into it, we're talking about headaches, headache disorders, migraines, and triggers, and the influence of nutrition and lifestyle factors. Quite a mouthful. But can you tell us about headache disorders and migraines and how we define them?
Yes, so headaches are a very common condition most people will experience a few times or many times during their lives. So, you know, while most headaches aren't dangerous, it becomes a problem when someone is experiencing frequent and consistent headaches. You know, it might be your body sending warning signs. And we know that they can have an effect on one's life, you know, everyday responsibilities, even your job performance. So it's definitely something to look at. Mm. If we look at headache disorders, they are characterized by recurrent headaches and are one of the most common disorders of the nervous system. So if you think about migraines, so a migraine is a very complex neurological disorder. It's characterized by recurrent attacks, again, of moderate to severe head pain. And they're typically affected by one side of the head, often unilateral. And you see a lot of photophobia, so that's when you're really sensitive to light, and phonophobia, sensitive to sound. Mm. Mm. And lots of people also are actually nauseous. So that's how you know that you're experiencing a migraine. Mm-hmm. What happens is there's a mechanism deep in the brain that leads to the release of pain-producing substances and other neuropeptides, for example, calcitonin, gene-related peptide. Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole reaction of inflammation that happens in the body. So it's a lot deeper than just a simple headache.
Right, right. And obviously very, very complex. Now, Kari, how can we differentiate between a migraine and a stroke-related headache? You know, how do you kind of know when there's a problem coming?
Yes, it's very important because, of course, we know with a stroke, the sooner you get medical attention, the better the outcomes. And yeah, unfortunately, in some cases, it can be very hard to tell the difference between a migraine and a stroke-related headache. But there are some things, of course, there's overlapping symptoms, but there are some things that you can look out for that are different between the two. So if we look at, first of all, the things that are the same, so both migraines and stroke-related headaches have symptoms like disorientation or changes in vision and vertigo, feeling unbalanced. But the easiest way to tell the difference between them is that a migraine headache produces sensations like auras, flashing lights, or tingling skin, while a stroke-related headache is when sensations are lost. So with a migraine headache, you're getting sensations like flashing lights. With a stroke-related headache, sensations are often lost. So such as loss of vision or feeling, you're struggling to in a specific side of the body. You've got a loss of sensation, struggling to lift the hand, for example. So those are things to look out for. Migraine headaches are usually caused by triggers. So as you experience them more and more, you'll start to notice the same triggers. And the pain is usually described as throbbing and gets gradually worse, you know, as time continues. Mm-hmm. While strokes just happen at random, and the pain is very sudden and severe. Mm. You know, there's not that progressive getting worse.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's important to note that a mini stroke can also cause a stroke-related headache. Mm, so you know, that's why there's, that's when there's temporary interruption of blood flow. So yeah, but so that's the difference between the two.
But that's not really enough to sort of, probably not long enough, the disruption is not long enough to actually do long-term damage.
So with a mini stroke, it's still very important to go get medical attention, because oftentimes our body's warning signs for
something coming.
Yes, for a full-on stroke is a mini stroke. Mm. So it's a very big warning sign from your body.
Right. And Corrie, what are some of the factors that affect migraine headaches?
Yeah, so there are abundance of potential triggers that can contribute to the onset of a headache or a headache disorder like a migraine. So if we look at noise, stress, hunger or skipping meals, sleep disturbances, weather changes, even for women, hormone fluctuation or menstruation, again, also emotions or lack of physical activity or even excessive physical activity. All these things can affect headaches and headache disorders. And another one is of course, diet. Many types of foods. The research shows that there are some foods that are linked to headache disorders. Dairy products, citrus, nuts, ice cream, alcoholic beverages, coffee or caffeine. Also, some preservatives have also been linked to migraine headaches. And especially the Western dietary pattern, you know, lots of soft drinks, salted snacks and processed meats, fast foods that are in our diets now. These foods have also been linked to migraines.
Migraines.
So, yes. Mm-hmm.
And how can one go about identifying a potential trigger in diets? Maybe somebody who is suffering from headaches, how do you go about identifying what's triggering it?
Yes, so if we look at, for example, dietary triggers, it can be very hard to pinpoint a single food that might be a trigger. And but it can be, and then in that case, removing them from your diet might be helpful. Though it's very important to note that benefits must be balanced against nutritional risks. And you know, there is a potential for unnecessary restriction. You don't want to be cutting out lots of different foods or food groups, because then you're also at risk for nutritional deficiencies, and that will also cause health issues and disorder. It can actually also worsen your symptoms of your headaches or your migraines. So so I'd say oftentimes using like a structured food diary or a symptom diary is can be helpful to identify triggers. So, you know, you're writing down what you're eating, and then when you experience symptoms, you're writing that down. And then you might realize, or you might see something popping up all the time and you might suspect a trigger, then it's best to trial. So you take out that one food that you're suspecting. And then, of course, it's also very important to re-challenge. So after a while of taking it out, if you're not experiencing symptoms, you put it back in and see if the symptoms come back. Because, you know, it can, it's very personalized. It can be not necessarily the food, but the quantity of the food. Or it cannot be the quantity or the specific food, but it can be the timing, or it can be something in your environment. It's very difficult. We don't want you to cut out something unnecessarily. There's also a delay between when you actually eat a food and when the symptoms might come. So, yeah, you might cut out the wrong food as well. So it's always recommend, and I would always say, if you are experiencing serious symptoms and you do want to do elimination diet, I would recommend this to be done with a nutrition professional, like a dietitian.
Right, so that somebody can guide you. And now, Corrie, you mentioned a few triggers that can cause a migraine. Is there evidence on a diet or foods that prevent or reduce your risk of migraines?
Yes, definitely. That's one of the benefits of diet. You know, it's something that you can modify to fit your lifestyle and that you can use to improve your health. So there's definitely different clinical studies that shows that certain dietary patterns, specific nutrients, and even your body weight all influences your migraine attacks, even the frequency, duration, and severity of the attacks. So one dietary pattern that we see is associated with lower migraine frequency and even shorter duration and lower disability scores, so meaning it's less severe, you're still able to go on with your daily life, is the Mediterranean diet. So I'm sure listeners have heard Mediterranean diet a lot. Everyone always speaks about this diet just because it's linked to so many health benefits. So the Mediterranean diet emphasizes low consumption of meat, especially your red meat and your processed meats, and other full fat animal products like your butter, full fat dairy like ice cream. And then on the other hand, the abundance, so lots of consumption of healthy plant oils like your virgin olive oil, lots of vegetables and fruits, as little processed as possible, so as natural as possible, and then lots of nuts and seeds and legumes, also your fatty fish. So that is what the diet emphasizes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's mostly the polyphenols. So these are the compounds that are in the plants, the fruits and vegetables, but also the nuts and seeds and legumes that show to have this positive effect. Mm-hmm. What they mainly do is they're antioxidants. So they reduce all the stress and inflammation in the body, which also protects the brain and improves your immune system.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then, Corrie, about behavioral or lifestyle factors that we can adopt to prevent migraines.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, there's also research that shows that your body weight or your body mass index is related to the frequency, occurrence, and severity of migraines. So obesity is associated with higher migraine frequency and the risk that it becomes an actual chronic condition. Of course, we know that excess weight puts a lot of stress on the body. On the other hand, if you look at behavioral weight loss and loss of physical activity, that can be beneficial, not just for your overall health, but it can also help manage these headache disorder symptoms.
And then practical tips on ways to ease headache symptoms and reduce your risk of headache disorders like migraines or migraines.
Yeah, definitely. So first would be to try and adopt as many Mediterranean style dietary patterns as possible. So if we look at specific recommendations, it would be trying to add some fatty fish for that omega-3s into your diet. So you want oily fish like sardines or pilchards 2 or 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Then when we look about the oils that we use, try and use a small amount of plant oils with your meals. So like an olive oil or canola oil, even a sunflower oil, a little bit of that. And then legumes, so your beans, lentils, chickpeas, try and have at least 2 servings of that per week. Mm-hmm. There's lots of polyphenols in there that help with stress in the body. The same goes for nuts. And then, of course, we know fruits and veggies every day. Try and have 3 servings of vegetables, 2 servings of fruits, And of course, the more different colors you get, the more different antioxidants and polyphenols you get. Mm-hmm. So try and have lots of variety. If you can't, if you are only having one or two different types, that's fine, but then just increase the portion of mm-hmm. that. And then I'd also say something that people often overlook is herbs and spices. So natural herbs, you know, your basil, thyme, rosemary, your natural spices like your turmeric, paprika, they also add some benefits to your diet. So using those instead of your pre-mixed commercial spices can also be really, really beneficial. Mm-hmm.
And then where can listeners go to learn more about cardiovascular diseases and the foundation? That's the Heart and Stroke Foundation.
Yeah, so listeners can go to our website. We also share resources on how to make it easier to make some of these changes. So our website is heartfoundation.co.za.
Heartfoundation.co.za. Simple and straightforward. Corrie, thank you very, very much. Thanks for joining us today. And look forward to chatting again next week, Tuesday.
Definitely. It's a huge pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you then. That's Corrie Erasmus from the Heart and Stroke Foundation, a registered dietitian, chatting to us today about headaches, headache disorders, migraines and triggers, and the influence of nutrition and lifestyle factors.